Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Welcome to the podcast, fellow members of Chiefs Kingdom. If you're new to the show, my name is Jason Thomas, and I am by no means an expert analyst or anything like that. I am just a big fan of the Chiefs, probably a lot like you are. And I use this podcast to kind of have a conversation with whoever wants to about the Chiefs. I did want to mention here at the beginning, you know, the Chiefs made a trade for a cornerback from the Minnesota Vikings named Mike Hughes earlier this week. You know, the Vikings took him 30th overall in 2018. And I think basically, you know, they've got corners on their team and they wanted to dump some salary. So the Chiefs were able to, you know, get a pretty good deal on this guy. The Chiefs gave their sixth round pick next year for the Vikings' seventh round pick. So probably a move of around 20 to 25 spots down in the draft to get this guy. And, you know, I haven't actually got to watch any film on him. My internet at the house has been pretty spotty this last week. You know, hopefully I will have a new internet provider here pretty shortly. I live way out in the country and all I can get is satellite internet. So I'm really looking for the day that Starlink finally gets here and I can do a little bit more film watching because I really enjoy that too. You know, everything I've heard about Hughes is that he's kind of a smaller guy, kind of like Fenton, and that he can play on the outside in a pinch. But, you know, his best spot is probably in the slot, and he's going to get a year to prove that to the Chiefs. And if he doesn't, they can walk away from him next year. If he does, they can keep him around. So I think that is a pretty good deal for the Chiefs. So we are going to talk some Patrick Mahomes stats here. When I was looking at his numbers on Pro Football Reference, it just really struck me how similar his advanced passing stats have been all three seasons. He started in the NFL, and then even some of his base stats from 2018 and 2020 are very similar. In 2018, he had 383 completions in 16 games. Last season in 15 games, they had 390. And then the passing attempts were very similar too, only 8 different. So his 2018-2020 completions and attempts were very similar. Now, of course, in 2018, he threw for almost 5,100 yards. And last year, he was about 360 yards less than that. And you can see where that comes from. And it's yards after catch. In 2018, he averaged 6.8 yards after catch on each completion. Last year, he averaged 5.8, so there was about a yard difference, which doesn't sound like a lot. But when you're talking, you know, 380-some completions a year, that's almost, you know, exactly the difference. Now, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, you know, did we not have as many big plays last year? You know, the biggest play of the season was a 75-yard bomb to Tyreek Hill, and the next biggest play was, I believe, 49 yards to Mecole Hardman. Travis Kelce had a 45-yarder. I know Hardman's play was all air yards. There was no run after the catch on his 49-yarder because I remember that play. But then another thought struck me. I think it has more to do with the running backs. You know, the throws to the running backs are usually pretty short throws, and most running backs average between, you know, 6 and 7.5 yards per catch. So that's almost all yards after catch. And in 2018, the Chiefs running backs did an exceptional job, you know, with the receiving yards. And, you know, Andy Reid teams as a whole have always done better with the receiving backs. So I actually did an article about that about 3 years ago, and it's really ran through Reed's entire career, but it even got better in his early years with the Chiefs. And, you know, last podcast I was talking about how, you know, Reed needed to throw some new wrinkles into the offense, needed to change some things up. And then I heard Jeff Schwartz talking on a KC Network podcast, I believe, and he was talking about how the Chiefs kind of need to get back to what they do. And that thought hadn't really dawned on me yet, and that makes a lot of sense. You know, get back to the screen game a little bit. And he seemed to think that the new offensive lineman we have would be able to do that just fine. And, you know, the Chiefs screen game was very dominant in the Alex Smith years, excuse me, and even in Mahomes' first year. So if they can get back to that really good screen game, I think that will add quite a bit of yardage to the yards after completion. And then, you know, Mahomes' intended air yards has stayed within a yard all 3 years. It was higher his rookie year, and it's dropped each year. But, you know, I think he went deep a lot his rookie season. They were behind a lot in his rookie season trying to make comebacks. So he was taking more chances, trying to push the ball down the field a little bit more. And then his average air yards per catch have been 6.5, 6.5, and 6.3. So they've been extremely steady through all 3 years. I also looked at Mahomes' stats over the last three seasons compared to Rodgers, Brady, and Josh Allen. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit, even though there was nothing that really jumped out to me as abnormal. It all seemed, you know, pretty much like I thought it would be. Now, Mahomes over the last 3 years has played 46 games, Rodgers 48, Brady 48, and Allen 44. So, you know, they're all pretty close. And, you know, for their completion percentage over their career, Mahomes has the highest at 66%. Now, Rodgers and Brady, they both played, you know, part of their career where it wasn't as easy to complete passes. So their career numbers are going to be a little bit lower. And then, of course, Josh Allen, his career completion percentage is pretty low. But last season, he completed, I think, around 69% of his passes. He was just phenomenal in that respect, compared to the two previous years where he was really poor. Now, of course, the Bills gave him some weapons, and John Brown and Cole Beasley, and of course, especially Stephon Diggs. And then instead of running so much vertical stuff with him, because he does have a strong arm, and you think about him being a vertical down the field passer, they started running a lot of crossing stuff. And, you know, he seemed to really be able to see that and read that better, doing multiple crossing levels. So basically all the receivers running the same direction in the same part of the field. And he could read that a little easier, see who was open and make those throws. And it really improved his game. And I just found that very fascinating, because as a Madden player, as a quarterback, I've always been terrible at trying to pass down the field. So all I do is run crossing patterns on Madden, and I can actually complete a few of those. And they kind of did that in real life with Josh Allen. All right, so over the last 3 years, Mahomes is, you know, way ahead in passing yards. He's got over 1,000 more than Brady, like about 1,400 yards more than Rodgers, and over 4,000 more than Allen. But once again, that makes sense. You know, Mahomes has been on the great offense for 3 years. Rodgers, these last 3 years cover his last year with McCarthy, his first year with his new head coach, and then he's only had one really good year in these three, and that was last year where he won the MVP. Brady, of course, last year probably had the best weapons in football, at least as a group. But the two previous years with the Patriots, he didn't have a lot. And then Allen, of course, like I said, you know, last year he was great. The year before, they made the playoffs kind of despite him. In his rookie year, he wasn't great. You know, and that leads to the same thing with touchdowns. Mahomes has 15 more touchdowns than Rodgers, 21 more than Brady, and 47 more than Allen. But what really jumps out here is the touchdown to interception ratio. Mahomes has thrown 4.75 touchdowns to every interception, which is great. Rodgers, it's 9. Almost double Patrick Mahomes. 9 touchdowns to every interception. That is just amazing. That's where Rodgers really does stand out kind of above everybody else. Even though I would take what Patrick Mahomes brings every time. Brady is 3-1, and Allen's a little bit over 2-1. Now, something that's kind of interesting about Brady is he's never really been afraid to throw interceptions. Peyton Manning was similar. Peyton Manning was more that way. Peyton Manning threw a lot more interceptions than Brady did. But what's fascinating about both of those guys is their timing with their interceptions. Their interceptions never really hurt their teams, generally. I remember seeing a stat last year, Advanced Analytics, where they were talking about how a lot of Peyton Manning's interceptions were basically equivalent to punts. So he took chances. If they worked out, they scored. If they didn't work out, it didn't really hurt the team that much. And Brady is very similar. And I thought that was very apparent in the playoff run they had last year leading up to the Super Bowl. Excuse me. I didn't get a drink of Dr. Pepper here. And then, of course, Mahomes averaged 12.7 yards per catch or per pass catch. And that's over a yard more than Rodgers, Brady, or Allen. Rodgers, Brady, and Allen are all at 11.6 to 11.4. They're all stacked really close. When you look at the advanced passing, the thing that really stands out there is, intended air yards, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, lead Rodgers and Brady. That kind of makes sense. The younger guys taking a few more deep shots. And then air yards per catch. I thought it was kind of interesting that Mahomes, Brady, and Allen are all within about 0.2 of each other on that. And then Rodgers is quite a bit lower, almost a full yard lower than, say, Josh Allen. And so even though he's attempting some deeper passes in games, you think of Rodgers throwing some deep passes. He's really made his bread and butter on the shorter stuff, which also makes sense that he's thrown less picks than the other guys because he's completed less deep passes, or at least mid-range passes. And then the yards after catch, that really stands out. Mahomes has dominated that category. Rodgers is about not quite half a yard behind him. And then Brady and Allen both fall down quite a bit. Of course, Allen, his accuracy was so terrible his first couple years. The wide receivers were lucky to catch it, let alone run after the catch. Brady, I think, with his arm strength, he's just trying to get it there. He is not necessarily worried about a whole lot of run after the catch. He's just trying to pick up the first down, move the chains. And Rodgers and Mahomes, they move around a lot in the pocket. They can create plays. And then, like I mentioned earlier, a lot of the yards after catch comes back to your running backs. And Green Bay is another team that excels with the running back, Aaron Jones, catching passes and picking up a lot of yards. So now I'm done with just the Mahomes stats. I'm going to talk some team stats with the Chiefs. You can look at the total points for the Chiefs. Last year they scored 473. 2019 they scored 451. In 2018 they scored 565. So in 2018 they scored a lot more points than they have the last 2 years. And you can just look at that and say, well, the Chiefs' 2018 defense was so terrible that the Chiefs had to score a lot. And you wouldn't be wrong. But I think there's more to it than that. The Chiefs' 2019 defense was very good. It was very close to being called like a special type of defense. Of course, the 2018 defense was terrible. But what I don't think maybe a lot of people realize is that even though the 2020 defense was adequate, they did what they needed to do, they were nowhere near as good as they were in 2019. And we will get to that in just a little bit, but I wanted to look at it through the lens of the offense first. And I'm going to use drive stats. So yards per drive, points per drive. And this excludes like end of the half drives, that kind of thing. And that gives you a much better idea of how your team has done as a whole, instead of looking at the total numbers, because you can kind of get a little more feel for the situations in games, things like that, because football games have a lot of different kinds of situations that pop up. So in 2020, we'll start with last year, the Chiefs averaged almost 41 yards per drive, and they averaged right at 2.74 points per drive. Now in 2019, when the defense was at its peak, the Chiefs offense averaged 37 yards per drive and 2.59 points. Now, 4 yards per drive less in 2019 doesn't seem like a lot, but you're starting to get with, you know, that's a significant number when you're thinking about per drive. Now in 2018, the Chiefs averaged just under 40 yards per drive. So the Chiefs actually averaged a yard more per drive in 2020 than they did in their fantastic 2018 year. And then when you get to points per drive, you know, the 2018 Chiefs averaged 3.12 points per drive. So 0.38% more points per drive in 2018 than they did in 2020. That doesn't sound like a lot when you say it, like 0.38 points per drive. But when you look at the amount of drives per game, that's actually between 3 and 7 points per game. And you think about all the close games the Chiefs had down the stretch last year. And, you know, they wouldn't have necessarily had to have been that close if they'd been able to get the extra points. And it's pretty easy to see why the Chiefs didn't score as much this last year when you look at these next stats. And that's third down percentage and red zone percentage. The third down percentage the last 3 years has actually been extremely close. It was 49% in 2020, 47.6% in 2019, and 47.2% in 2018. So that's very similar. The difference is in the red zone touchdown percentage. In 2019, the year where they didn't score as many, they were only 54% in the red zone, which, you know, that's probably okay for the NFL in today's times, but that's really underperforming for the Chiefs. Last year in 2020, they were at 61%, you know, which, like I say, that's not bad. But for the Chiefs' weapons and for Patrick Mahomes, you know, I think they should do better. And in 2018, where they scored all those points, the red zone percentage was just under 72%. So they scored a ton of touchdowns when they got down there. You know, the last couple of years when the Chiefs got into the red zone, they tried to get really tricky, and they tried to trick teams to score touchdowns. They didn't necessarily try to run it up the gut or anything like that. And I think with this offensive line, this might be where we see a big improvement with the power we have up front, that if we get, you know, inside the 5 yard line, that we're not going to try to pass. We're just going to run it in and get it over the line, get our points. And I think that will improve the overall team scoring, whether that line helps the passing game or not, which I think it will. But just in the run game, it should help us convert some of those field goals we were kicking in the red zone to touchdowns. Now on the defensive side, say in 2018, the Chiefs defense was atrocious. They allowed 37.2 yards per drive and 2.35 points. In 2019, when they were really good, they allowed 34 yards per drive, so about 3 yards less, which isn't a huge amount, but it's significant. And then points, they allowed 1.88 points per drive, so almost half a point less per drive, and that is very significant. Like I said, that's between a field goal and a touchdown less than the year before. And then in 2020, The Chiefs allowed just under 34 yards per drive, so they actually had their best season in the last 3 years yardage-wise per drive, but they allowed 2.1 points per drive, so quite a bit more than 2019 and basically right between 2018 and 2019, basically right in the middle. And when you look at the third down percentage and red zone percentage, it's easy to see why on the defensive side too. You know, in 2018, they allowed 41.5% of third down conversions. Last year, they allowed 41%. So the Chiefs allowed third down conversions last year at almost the same rate they did in 2018. Now, in 2019, when the defense was really good, they allowed 37.1%. So they were 4% better, almost 5% better. So that's significant per drive. And then the red zone is where you really see it. In 2019, the Chiefs defense allowed just under 51% a touchdown rate in the red zone. That is very good for the NFL. You know, that's better than adequate for sure. In 2018, they allowed 72.4% touchdown percentage, which is bad. But in 2020, they allowed 76.6 touchdown percentage. So the Chiefs defense was actually worse in the red zone last year than they were in 2018 by a significant amount, which is pretty crazy. I did not realize that. I mean, it's just a basic stat that's out there, but it just hadn't crossed my mind that the Chiefs were so terrible in the red zone. But when you really think about it, you know, it does feel like looking back that running backs killed us inside the red zone last year, you know, receiving inside that 20-yard line. I've got nothing to back that up outside of just plays flashing through my mind from last year. But that is a ridiculously bad number for a defense. You know, I don't think they will be that bad again. I think they will definitely try to, you know, focus on that going into this year. You know, you turn one touchdown into a field goal a game. And, you know, the Chiefs, like I say, they don't have one score games anymore. Kind of the same way on offense. Basically, I'm just kind of nitpicking a team that has made it to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years by saying that they should never have a close game because the offense is too good and the defense has the ability to at least be adequate. And if they are, then they really shouldn't ever have a close game unless they just have one of those fluky turnover games that happens, you know, at least a couple times a year to you, no matter how good you are. Now, I also want to talk a little bit about the Chiefs receiving corps from last year because, you know, everybody out there has been worried about the Chiefs' number two receiver, me included. You know, I want to see the Chiefs, you know, be explosive and be dynamic. And, you know, the truth is they're pretty explosive and dynamic last year. And they're bringing back their top four pass catchers, at least in targets from last year. Kelce, Hill, Hardman, and Robinson were the top four target guys last year. Sammy Watkins was number five, and then came CEH and Darrell Williams. So six out of the top seven target guys from last year are coming back this year. And then I went ahead and looked at the yards per reception. And, you know, that's just a basic stat, but it kind of jumped out to me because, of course, Hill led the team with 14.7. Then there was Hardman with 13.7, and you expect both of that. I honestly kind of expected Hardman's number to be a little bit higher because you think of him as a big play guy. But then Kelce was right behind Hardman at 13.5. And, you know, I don't necessarily think of Kelce as a big play tight end anymore because he doesn't quite have the top end speed that he used to have. But, man, you know, he averages well more than a first down per catch. He gets the yards that are there. And, you know, I mean, he's probably my favorite tight end of all time. And I still think I underappreciate how good he really is. And then I went ahead and broke it down by targets per group last year. And the Chiefs wide receivers got 331 targets last year. 135 of those went to Tyreek, so that leaves 196 targets to other receivers. And of course, we're going to have one more game this season than last season. So that's 196 targets to go around to Hardman and Robinson, and then maybe Pringle, Powell, the new wide receiver that we drafted, and then say Antonio Callaway or Tajay Sharpe if one of those guys make the team. Now, I do think those 196 targets will get cut into some by the tight ends and running backs a little bit more this year. And last year, the tight ends on the Chiefs got 166 targets, but 145 of those went to Kelce. I expect Kelce to still be the target hog on this team. He's just the biggest matchup problem, whether he's lined up at tight end or wide receiver. But that just left 21 targets to other tight ends, and I still think that will be about the same to those guys. But I do feel like Noah Gray is going to get some targets this year. It all depends on whether Andy Reid trusts him and kind of designs plays for him. But I think once he does, he's going to design two or three pass plays for him every game. And I'm thinking maybe fairly early on, at least enough that teams have to respect him when he's out on the field and to worry about him a little bit. And if they don't, then, you know, Reed, I believe, would go back to him even more. But I expect Noah Gray to you know, as long as he plays this season and gets out on the field, to have around 40 targets, which would definitely eat into the wide receivers a little bit. And then the Chiefs running backs last year got 111 targets. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, CEH, got 54 of those, so not quite half. 57 targets went to other running backs, but of course CEH missed three games last year. Of course, the Chiefs added Jerick McKinnon this offseason. He is definitely more of a pass catcher than a runner. Last year, he had 33 receptions for 253 yards and one touchdown. CEH had 36 receptions for 297 yards and one touchdown. So their numbers were extremely close. I believe what CEH averaged 8.3 yards per reception and Jerick McKinnon averaged 7.7. So that's both above average. Having both those guys in the backfield, and Darrell Williams is no slouch as a receiver out of the backfield. And then Darwin Thompson, you know, my guy, my favorite guy in that backfield. He's not the most natural receiver. He's not the most natural head turner when he gets out there to look for the ball. But man, if you could just place the ball in his hands out there, he's the most dangerous of all four of those guys from the point they catch the ball and turn up field. I just wish we had been able to see him more out there, and I'm not 100% sure he makes this team, or at least the active roster, because the Chiefs no longer have their running back coach. They'd had the previous 2 years. He's moved on, and I believe he's the guy who really loved Darwin Thompson. I hope he sticks around, because for some reason I just really like that guy. I'm glad he's made it to the NFL and that he's got an opportunity. I mean, the guy got to play in the Super Bowl, and not many people can say that. So even if he doesn't ever become what I thought he had a chance to be, he still achieved a lot. Now, I do think, you know, the Chiefs will probably throw to the running backs a little bit more this year. That's always an outlet for Patrick Mahomes. And then, you know, I was talking earlier in the podcast about getting back to the screen game a little bit more, and more of those design passes to the running backs. And even if you just added 20 or 30 of those, and then say the 20 or 30 more passes to tight ends, that cuts down the extra targets to wide receivers to around 140. You could split 140 targets between Hardman and Robinson, or Hardman and Powell, pretty easy. And there's not as many leftover targets, I guess, as I thought there was. Now, I want to switch to the defense for just a little bit and talk about maybe why the Chiefs' red zone defense wasn't quite as good last year as it had been previously. And this isn't specific. I'm not, you know, it's not something I've done just a ton of research on or went back and watched. It's just something that popped out to me from the stats. And that was the Chiefs' pass rush last year was just not up to where it has been the previous years. Now, Chris Jones, he had a very good year last year. He led the team with 7.5 sacks, which doesn't seem like a lot, but for a defensive tackle, sack numbers usually vary quite a bit. A lot of it's just luck. And he still had 28 quarterback hits, according to Pro Football Reference, where depending on where you look, those numbers can be a lot higher. And his pressure rate was extremely high last year. He got a lot of pressures. His pass rushing grade by PFF was excellent. Now, Frank Clark was second on the team with 6 sacks, 15 quarterback hits. You know, Clark has been, he's been adequate, but he has not been special for the Chiefs in the regular season. And, you know, I don't know if it's health problems. If you look at practice reports, the last couple training camps, he's had a lot of days where he's just listed with a stomach illness. You know, I personally think there's probably something a little bit wrong with him physically, and he's just been playing through it, and he's a tough guy, but I'd like to, you know, be able to see him get back to where he was a couple years ago, his last year with Seattle. If he can get back to that level of play, he's going to help our defensive line. And then last year, third in sacks on our team was Alex Okafor with 3, and then Mike Dana was 4th with 2.5 sacks. That's kind of rough. I know sacks aren't the end all, but I think Okafor might have had 10 or 11 quarterback hits, and then nobody else was close to double digits for the Chiefs. Now, part of that was Taco Charlton got hurt, you know, after 7 games, and he hadn't played a ton in the first couple games of the season, so we didn't get to see a whole lot of him. He was on pace for 5 sacks, which would have been 3rd on the team. And that's, you know, how many he had the year before with the Dolphins in a similar role. He is coming back. You know, maybe he's not an excellent pass rusher, but I do think he's a good one. And he has upside to be maybe in that excellent category if he can ever take a step. And then, of course, the big addition this offseason was Jaron Reed, the 29-year-old defensive tackle we got from the Seahawks. In his last 2 full seasons, he's had 10.5 sacks and 6.5 sacks, 24 quarterback hits, and 14 quarterback hits. So, you know, he's right up there with Clark as probably the second best pass rusher on the team, even from the defensive tackle spot. And, of course, his big 10.5 sack year and Frank Clark's best year came when they played together. And I'm kind of hoping that those guys, just being back together and feeding off of each other will, you know, definitely add something to this defense. And, you know, just thinking about Jaron Reed and Chris Jones in the middle together, that's going to give teams a lot to think about on third down. And, you know, Frank Clark and Taco Charlton should have easier times on the edge, and you've still got guys who can step up, like maybe a rookie like Kando if he gets a chance to play this year. Correa, who we signed a couple weeks ago as maybe a Sam linebacker, and Bolton, Hitchens, these are guys that can, you know, Hitchens and Bolton especially, these are guys that excel blitzing up the middle. And they're going to be able to blitz in gaps opened by Chris Jones and Jaron Reed. That's probably going to be the easiest blitzing that they're ever going to have in their entire career. So even if you don't see the sack numbers from those guys on third down, they're definitely going to be getting pressures and affecting the quarterback. And then if Willie Gay can find a way to get out there on third down, you know, he is, you know, I think able to be a very good coverage linebacker. He's probably got a ways to go mentally on that side, but just the way he moves, you can tell he's definitely got the athletic ability. And you can also blitz him, and he is fast enough to get around the edge and affect a quarterback. Some linebackers aren't. You've kind of got to take a wide arc sometimes when you're a linebacker if you aren't giving it away that you're blitzing. And he has enough speed to do that, similar to like L'Jarius Sneed blitzing from the cornerback spot. He had enough speed to get there. And, you know, if Sneed is on the outside, there are other slot corners the Chiefs have that can blitz the quarterback. Maybe not quite to the level that Sneed did, but they've got some good guys that can come out of the slot. Ugh. Sorry. Thank you guys for making it this far. I have had a really hard time with this podcast, getting tongue twisted, and I've had to restart it probably a dozen times today. So if you made it this far, thank you very much. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next week. Bye.